When I think back on summertime of the past, I think about exploring, going and checking out random things with friends, and just having a great time. On a recent EPP bonus episode, we heard about a tragedy that tears a friendship apart and leaves nothing but questions in a very paranormal situation. We classified it as one of the best stories we've ever had on the show.
It's really creepy.
If you want to hear it, sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person on our website at Real Ghost Stories Online. The episode is called Even in Death. Your $5 a month donation to be an EPP gets you access to more than 50 full episodes of our show, exclusive to EPPs, exclusive bonus video content, archived shows, and more. You can't go wrong. You're keeping our show on the air, and you get all these extras. Please consider supporting the show and becoming an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, Tony and Jenny Bruska here with you, by the way. We are going to be taking your calls. It's the episode of Open Line at 855-853-4802. Lots of good ghost stories lined up for us. If you'd like to share your ghost story, you can do it that way through the telephone line, or you, of course, can write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us. I thought this was interesting. There's a new book coming out about a psychological disorder that can cause you to hallucinate your doppelganger.
Oh, really?
It's called The Man Who Wasn't There, Investigations into the Strange New Science of the Self.
That's interesting.
I mean, it is very interesting because we talk about this quite a bit. And in almost all the cases, you know, that we talk about, you do have to wonder sometimes, is it paranormal or is there something psychological going on? Because there are certainly cases where there's absolutely no ghostly phenomena going on, but it is a psychological issue. And there's times where it's not a psychological issue, it's completely a ghostly phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you have a little mixture of both.
Sure.
But I just thought it was interesting that there's a book coming out on the topic that divulges into this a little bit. In the book, The Man Who Wasn't There, the author explores mysteries of self, including the weirdness of an otoscopic phenomenon, a kind of hallucination in which you are convinced that you are having an out-of-body experience or face-to-face with your non-existent twin.
Huh.
Very interesting.
I wonder if that's a phenomena that happens during the waking hours or at night.
I think it can probably happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think it all depends on the state that you're in. But anyhow, it's called The Man Who Wasn't There. I have not read it myself, but I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Sure.
Considering something we talk about quite a bit here on the show. Of course, if you have a ghost story, even if you're not quite sure if it's a ghost story, but paranormal nonetheless to you, let us know. 855-853-4802. We'd love to hear it. And of course, we'll give you our thoughts on the experience. Let's kick off the show today with a letter from Nikki in Florida. Hi.
Nikki, and I've had a lot of ghost stories in my life. I grew up in a house that was built in 1888 in a little town called Columbia in Ohio, and it was definitely shared with other spirits, beings. I have so many stories from that, but what has just happened to me in the last few days happened in Clearwater, Florida. I'm living in this beautiful home with my auntie and my uncle. I've just relocated here from Hawaii, and they have this gorgeous pool off their back deck, and everything's all enclosed, a big screen, and there's a beautiful area with two ceiling fans and a big table and a bunch of chairs. So I like to go out there and sit at night and have a smoke. And I was sitting out there smoking 3 days ago, and my auntie and uncle have grandchildren, so there's a lot of kid paraphernalia around, and I heard this noise. I was sitting out there in the dark, but it wasn't completely dark. It sounded like one of the chairs was scraping, but I was out there by myself and there's no breeze, and it was very loud. That startled me, and then I just let it go because I've had experience and I just kind of like to ignore it. So then about a full minute after I hear the noise, I see out the corner of my eye that this kid's bouncy ball, the bigger sized bouncy ball, looks like a tie-dyed ball, just goes rolling. And at this time of the year, there is no breeze out there. It's so hot and humid, and it made the hair stand up on the back of my neck, on my arms. And that ball just went rolling all by itself. And I know for a fact, being out there every day, that that ball was jammed under an old Pepsi cooler, and there was no reason for the noise, for the ball. So then last night I'm out there, and I hear this bizarre animal noise, and I've lived in the woods, I've lived in a tropical island, I know what raccoons sound like, I know what cats sound like. This was nothing I've ever heard before. And it went on for a while, and I thought, well, it's outside of the porch and everything's all screened in. And then the hair rose up, and I thought, it's only a screen, whatever it is to get me. And I'm not that scared, but it gave me such a bizarre feeling that I came in the house. Same thing after the ball, I grabbed my stuff and came directly in the house. So tonight I'm home alone, and my auntie and uncle have just gone on a cruise, and I get home about 11, and I decide, you know, this is my house, I'm not going to be scared, I'm going to go out and sit out there and have a smoke and have a drink and, you know, catch up on my Facebook pals from back home. And my auntie has this beautiful string of lights that goes around the top of the screen above the pool. And so instead of turning on the ceiling fan lights and really illuminating myself at 11 and calling all the bugs in Florida to myself, and I left them off and just turned that light on. That light is on a power strip that is kind of old. It's the only thing plugged into it. And you just go over there and click, and it's one of those old ones that really clicks. And I click it on, and I'm sitting out there for about 5 minutes, and then I get this strange feeling, like perhaps I'm not alone, and I was trying not to think about the ball rolling and the strange noises, and all of a sudden, the most audible click, and the lights go out. And it gives me goosebumps to say it, because this just happened several hours ago, and I'm home alone by myself. I'm not here by myself very often. It's a very large house. And it just scared the bejesus out of me. There was no reason for it to happen. There's no way I could have clicked it halfway on, and then it clicked off. The thing is old and has to be clicked all the way on, and it was just 3 nights in a row, and I just clearly feel like somebody wants my attention. And I don't know that it doesn't come into the house and it's just out there, and this house was built by my auntie and uncle, and it was just a piece of land, so nobody ever lived here before them. But I know that hauntings and things don't happen just in houses. A lot of times it's something that's connected to the land. But I also know that Florida was huge for Native American population before, you know, everything changed for them. But so is Ohio. And I always made that sort of a connection. I think that the land has a lot of power, and I think that it's either somebody I know that's gone before me into the great unknown trying to get my attention outside, or it is the land. Because like I said, nobody's ever lived here before. I could go on and on, and I don't know how many stories you're allowed to submit or how long this could be, but I guess I'll wait and see if I ever hear my story and then tell you some of my other ones. In my old house in Ohio, I've seen things raise up off of the counter into the air and go clattering to the floor. I think my mom is one of those special people with special energy. Maybe I got a little bit of that shine. But anyway, that's what's happened to me in the last 3 days. And I'm going to remain here alone for several days. I think about 10. I'll be being here by myself day and night in this big house. And I can't go out to my favorite spot because who knows what will happen next. Thank you for listening. Aloha.
So what's the better thing now to do? Stay in the house and listen to our show and get freaked out by other people's stories, or go out and create your own stories?
I think while she's alone, I'm going to give her permission to take a vacation from our show until her aunt and uncle get back.
No, you must go to the porch and listen to the show while you're on the porch.
I don't want anybody to go into physical duress because of listening to our show alone and scared.
Be interesting. At least, you know, you may be kind of preoccupied by something else. I don't know. The ghosts may enjoy listening to our show. We've had that happen too.
Yes, we have.
So anything is possible.
I don't know. I think if you're having that bad of a feeling, I would just stay inside and not go out to the porch, because that seems to be where the activity is staying at the moment.
Sure.
So if you can just keep it out there until they get back, then maybe it'll go away.
Yeah, as far as the what, where, when, you know, where it's all coming from, her guess is as good as ours, mm-hmm. really. I mean, because could it be from the land? Could it be a loved one? Could it be, it could be anything, but there's something trying to get your attention. Is it good? Is it bad? Yeah, that's the other question we don't know the answer to.
No.
And when you don't know the answer to that, that's really not the time to dig.
No.
So, interesting story. And yes, you are welcome to, of course, call in more of your experiences to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Maybe she'll have more now by the time this airs. By the time this airs, she'll probably not be staying there anymore. Hopefully she survived.
Oh, she's going to be fine.
And she'll have access to a telephone. You know, and she's not somewhere where they're like, no, we're sorry, ma'am, you can't use the phone without written consent from your loved ones.
No, she's going to be fine.
Okay.
She's not going to be committed.
Okay. You never know. I mean, some be pretty extreme.
Well, I know.
Hopefully it just stays on this level.
I don't want to scare her.
No.
So.
I kind of do, but.
No, she's going to be fine.
855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, guys. Love the podcast. A recent listener, and I'm definitely going to be putting the money in to be in an EPP. You guys have some great content, and I look forward to upcoming episodes. So as far as the story, I have a lot, but just one of the more subtle but, I guess, emotional stories. I was raised by a single mother most of my life, and I'm the oldest of six kids. She ended up marrying a gentleman whose wife had passed a year prior from brain cancer. And I was maybe 17 at the time. And the gentleman she married had a daughter who was 13, who hung out with my younger sister a lot. And we're all pretty close, but the fact that that my stepfather's ex-wife had passed recently, like, that was very hush-hush, and we never talked about it. One night I was sitting on the computer, listening to music, just hanging out, and all of a sudden, from the corner of the room where the recliner was, I started hearing, like, the sound, like an animal suckling. And we had a cat, we had a few cats, but the one cat, his name was Juicebox. He would, like, almost nurse on his paw and, like, knead his paws. And, like, it was like a comfort thing, I guess, for him. So I thought it was Juicebox. And I went over to the chair. Like, I loved this cat, you know what I mean? So I went over to the chair and looked behind it, and I was looking for him. And I looked under the chair. Like, I looked all around this chair, and then he was not there at all. And the whole time, the sound's continuing to happen. And I was, like, almost in disbelief, because there was nowhere that the sound could be originating from. But, like, it was so blatantly being heard, like, right there. And it was maybe a year down the line after they had already separated. And I learned that in that exact chair, the same physical chair in the same spot, was where they found my ex-stepdad's late wife when they came home. And that kind of really like rocked me to my core. I was just like, wow. And my mom proceeded to tell me stories about my youngest sister watching the blinds in her room just like go up by themselves. And like she came into her room, my mom came into her room the one time, and all the contents of all of her drawers were thrown out all over the room. And she actually blamed my stepdad. And I mean, needless to say, I mean, obviously his late wife didn't want my mom there. And you add all that up and it's just a breeding ground for a very messy type of haunting. But I mean, she was very respectful of you know, the kids, and she wasn't malicious in any way, but she made it clear that she didn't want she did not want her husband, you know, with my mother. And so that was just a quick story. I have a lot more, but I figured that one was probably one of the easiest to tell and most emotional and involved stories as far as just like my whole family. And I'm sure a lot of them have a lot of other stories that they could tell on that 2 year span of our lives. But looking forward to, you know, future episodes. And so thank you very much. Bye.
Juice box suckling by the computer monitor. Dead wife nipping at your toes.
That's not nice.
It's my new Christmas carol.
That is not nice.
Now for a limited time only, Tony and Jenny sing the Christmas hits.
So would you keep a chair that I died in?
Would I keep the chair?
Mm-hmm.
I probably would not get rid of it.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I would be immediately like, I must get rid of this item. It'd be, I don't know. I mean, it's an odd question, you know, because at one point it's kind of like, you know, it's almost uncomfortable, you know, because your loved one died right there. You don't want to like have to think of that every single time you see the chair.
Uh-huh.
And at the same point, your loved one died in that chair.
Right.
So I'd feel, I don't know how I would feel until I was in that situation. Honestly, what would you do?
You kick it in any chair in the house and it's gone the next day.
The chair's gone?
The chair is gone. You can attach yourself to something else, but the chair you died in is gone.
Are you saying just in case I attach myself to that chair? Because the likelihood is I would attach myself to that chair?
Attach yourself to something
now
else.
Now I know. I'm not going to that chair if I kick it in a chair.
Because that's just, I'm never going to sit in that chair again. I'm just going to picture you dead in that chair forever. And I'm not gonna have that in my house.
I'd cuddle up on the chair and think of you, and you'd throw my chair into a dumpster.
I would.
Can't believe it.
I would.
It's an odd thing. But what if it was like a... okay, here's the interesting one on this. What if it's... Okay, I see you just kind of pitching a chair. If it's just like a regular old kitchen chair, there's not a whole lot of attachment to it. You sit in it maybe, you know, once a day or less.
Okay.
But what if it's like a Martin Crane recliner, which we don't have any of. We don't really have a my chair, your chair in the living room or things of that nature where it's, but let's just say theoretically we did. Okay. And it's, oh, this is his chair. He's sitting in it for a long time.
I don't care.
It's comfortable.
It could be literally Archie Bunker's chair from the TV show and I would still throw it out.
I could see there being more emotional attachment though to something like that, you know, or something like, oh, you know, I feel closer when I'm able to sit in his chair.
No.
Like the girls saying that or something.
No. I'm going to be more attached to you and be therefore saddened every time I see that chair.
I'm going to attach myself if I kick it early to some random object you are not going to suspect to throw out.
I'm not throwing out the chair to throw you out. I'm throwing out the chair because I don't need to look at the chair and see your dead body in it every time I pass by it.
Well, you won't see it. I'll be gone.
No, every time I see the chair, that's all I'm going to see in my mind.
Me sitting there?
Yep, dead. So that's why you and your dead chair are gone.
Choking on a salmon salad surprise sandwich. All the salmon permeating the air No matter what you do, there's always a smell of salmon salad surprise. I don't know why.
Pick a different smell.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over here to Jonathan in Louisiana.
Hi, Tony. This is Jonathan. I'm calling from Lafayette, Louisiana, and I had a ghost story for you that actually happened to me when I was about 16 years old. My grandfather died when I was 7. He died of a heart attack in his sleep peacefully. Well, fast forward a few years, we used to spend a lot of time in my grandmother's house, me and my cousins and my brothers. And I'm sitting there talking on the phone. At this point, I'm probably 15 years old. I'm sitting on the phone playing a Nintendo and just chatting away. And all of a sudden, I just hear the front door slam. And I don't think anything of it. I don't bother. I don't get up. Stuff like that. Oh, about a few minutes later, my grandmother comes in, and she has my older brother, who was 17, underneath her arm, and he is just shivering. He's white as a ghost. He's crying, and she asked me, "Did you see anything?" And I was like, "No, I've been playing Nintendo. I didn't see anything." And I was like, "What's going on?" Well, she basically said that my brother saw my grandfather, who was dead, standing right in front of her bedroom, wearing his overalls from work. You know, he described him perfectly, has glasses on, you know, exactly where you're standing. He could see through him, and he freaked him out, and he ran out of the house, and he had to be, like, my grandma had to drag him back in. Well, I started living at my grandmother's house the next year so I could go to a certain school. And I was always into paranormal stuff. I read, like, Loch Ness, Bigfoot, UFOs, anything I could get my hands on that was odd or different and stuff like that. That was my stuff. But one night, I can't sleep, and I'm looking towards the bathroom where the light is. And as I'm looking, I see mist, like, coming in, and I'm, like, staring at it. Am I sleeping? Am I awake? And I'm just focusing on it. And because it looks like just fog just rolling into this certain area, like the foyer of the house. And I'm staring at it, and then, like, it starts to swirl. And when it starts to swirl, it starts to take shape. And, like, at this point, I'm locked on it. I can't stop staring at it. And it starts to take shape, and it forms literally legs. And at that moment in time, my brain just click, 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 and I realized I was looking at the exact same spot that my brother saw my grandfather, and what I was seeing was most likely him forming, and it freaked me out. I buried my head, and I would not open my eyes until the next morning when my grandma shook me. But to this day, I know if I'd have looked and watched her a little bit longer, I would have seen him because it was just so surreal. But anyway, that's my story. Love the show. Thanks a lot.
I wonder why the grandfather was stuck only manifesting in that one particular spot.
I don't know.
No, I know we don't know, and we probably will never know. But
oh, wait.
It's interesting.
I do know.
What?
I do know. I just don't want to share.
The wife threw out the chair?
No, okay. I was just going to say I have an answer, but I'm not ever going to share it with anyone. I know the answer, though. And if you or Jenny sing the Christmas hit CD from Time Life Music this year, in the CD jacket is the answer to that question. I'm kidding.
That's great.
Oh, it'd be fun. We should do a Christmas album.
No.
We really should. It'd be great.
No.
Throwing my chair out and not fulfilling my Christmas dreams.
Sorry. That's just how I am.
So many disappointments on today's show.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over here to a caller in Ohio. Hi.
Hello, I'm calling from Ohio. I'm calling in relation to a Ouija board. My sisters, one Sunday night, decided to get out a Ouija board and act very foolish with it. They were calling out for Elvis and various other individuals. And all of a sudden, there was knocking on the walls and on the outside of the house and doors opening and closing. And they were very frightened over this, naturally. And they called me the next day explaining this, and they said that there was a handprint on the wall. And of course, I was really skeptical, and I hadn't been there for a while to visit my dad and my sisters, and My dad said he put Z-Brick up with a fireplace to hide a handprint on a wall. I said, okay. And again, being skeptical, I was just kind of blowing it off. And he decided to sell one year. And I went to look through the house to see if there was anything I could do to help with. And I walked over to the wall, and I noticed the Z-Brick had fallen off. And I looked, and sure enough, there was a handprint on the wall. And I asked Dad about the handprint. I said, this is what the girls told me about, was the handprint. And he said that he had painted over it numerous times, and it just kept coming back through the paint. And he decided to do the Z-Brick thing on the wall, and naturally, the Z-Brick fell off the wall. And this also goes in conjunction with when I was there visiting one time, I was sitting in front of this huge picture window in a rocking chair, and my dad was sitting on the other side. And all of a sudden, the window started flexing from a banging that was going on, as if someone was beating the window, trying to knock the window out. And I looked at my father and I said, what the heck is that? And he says, this goes on all the time. And I stood there in front of this window, no one there, and this hammering started around the outside of the house, totally around, all the way back to the picture window, and then just stopped. And as I say, I am looking out this window, and there is no one there. So this was all in relation to my sister's acting stupid with a Ouija board. So if you're going to use a Ouija board, please use common sense. Thank you.
No.
The more you know.
I was going to say, there's no family resentment there at all.
Not at all. He sounds like he really trusts his sister's expertise and knowledge on the subject.
That's just creepy, the handprint that won't go away.
It is. And I don't think there's any amount of magic eraser that will make it go away.
No.
But I was kind of just creeped up by his voice at the beginning, actually.
I don't know if he was just trying to be quiet or what.
I think he was frustrated.
Oh.
I think he was frustrated with his sister. I think it was a scary topic, and it was like, why did she have to do this?
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's one for Ouija Awareness Month.
Okay.
That's one to refer people back to.
Okay.
I'm going to make a note right here. Listen to this episode if there's a Ouija question. When you think you're doing nothing harmful with a Ouija board.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
There you go.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to a caller in California. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. How you guys doing? It's Noel again. And I just got done listening to some EPPs and very interesting. Also, I watched the movie The Nightmare last night about sleep paralysis, and that's a very interesting movie also. And it showed a few things there that I didn't realize people put those two things together, like the Hat Man and the Hag, the old lady, with sleep paralysis. And it's interesting because you know, I do believe that sleep paralysis is the very borderline between our dimension and the next dimension. It allows you to peek in there, just peek in there, just a little bit. And the thing with the Hat Man and the old lady, the hag, is that I saw them, but I was wide awake. I was driving. Both times I was driving and I was wide awake. I was completely awake. And when I saw a Hat Man, it was me and my friend. We had to start our shift for the night. We were driving team. We're truck drivers. We're driving team. We had to start our shift at 2 in the morning. So we're heading down to L.A. So we get out of the yard. We're heading down Jensen Avenue in Fresno, eastbound Jensen, to catch the Highway 99 towards Los Angeles, right? And I'm driving, and we start coming into the city. Right before you hit the city, there's some orchards, some almonds on the left and the right. And the road's a narrow two-lane road, you know, 45 miles an hour speed limit. You come into the city, and, you know, I'm slowing down, and I'm driving, and I had my high beams on. And I see this man, the shadow of a man, standing on the right side of the road on the white line at the very edge of my lane. He's standing there with a large trench coat. He's about 7 feet tall, 7'6" tall. And he's got this hat. This big white brimmed hat, and he's standing there right at the edge of the road, and I could see them with my headlights. It was like he was so dark, that shadow was so dark, my headlights would not go through that shadow. It stopped right at that shadow, so he was very visible, and I was shocked that I was seeing something. I thought I was seeing things. And I felt my heart just beat real fast, like boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh my God. And as I'm coming up to him, he doesn't even flinch, not even a bit. And I'm driving this 18-wheeler with a 53-foot box, and it's loud. It's rumbling down the road, and he doesn't even flinch. Like, if it was a person, he would have looked and moved out the way. But he's just standing there with his hands in his pocket. And oh my God, I passed him. He almost touched my right side mirror. That's how tall and how close he was to the truck. You know, it was like I was inches from his head with my mirror. And oh my gosh. So I looked over, wide-eyed. I looked over to my friend. He's sitting on the passenger side. I looked over, and he looks over at me the same way with his eyes, like, just wide open. And he goes, "Did you see that?" And I'm like, oh my God, yeah, I thought I was the only one that saw it. He's like, "Yeah, I saw that, man." What was it? I have no idea, man. It was just so weird, so strange, so strange. And that was when I saw the Hat Man. And, you know, when I saw the hag, it's still, I question that to this day, but I was coming up Highway 99. I was about just south of Tulare, California. And as I'm coming up, you know, there's just freeway. You know, it's just a freeway. And there's some fields to the left and the right, some large trees. Remember, there was some large trees right there where I saw the old lady. And it was about dawn. It was dawn. The sun was going down. There was more darkness than light, but you could still see, you know, the background of things. You could still see a little bit of light. And I'm driving up the freeway, and I'm alert. I'm wide awake. You know, I saw this lady. I start seeing a shadow, you know, with my, with the twilight. I start seeing this shadow. as I'm coming up closer to it, it's darker, and it starts to take shape, and it takes, you know, the shape of this lady with her cane, with long hair, walking on the side of the road. And I immediately focus on that shadow, because I had already seen the Hat Man, and this was maybe 2 years apart, maybe even 3 years apart. And as I look at the shadow, I'm focused on it, and now I start tripping out, and I slow down a little bit. I get closer, and sure as shit, there's an old lady walking hunchback, way hunchback, cane, long hair, and I didn't see any face features, just black from head to toe, just a dark shadow. And I remember just thinking, at the moment I thought to myself, maybe, what is an old lady doing out here? It's about 8 o'clock, 8 p.m., 8:15, you know, almost, you know, close to 9. What is an old lady doing out here like that? I thought to myself, maybe her car broke down and she needs help. Obviously, I'm driving an 18-wheeler. I can't just, you know, pull over wherever I want. And so I figured, you know, maybe, I thought about it logically. You know, I said, maybe she needs help. I called the highway patrol. I said, hey, between this street and just past this street, there's an old lady walking down the road on the right. And I think she needs help. And Highway Patrol Dispatch says, I will get a unit out there. I said, okay, thank you. I feel better, you know. At least I did something about it. So she said, what's your name? I'm like, Noel. Okay, thank you. Okay. So we hang up, and I continue driving. About 10 minutes later, I get a call back from Highway Patrol Dispatch and said, we went to check the area. We didn't find anything. There was nobody walking down the road where you told us there was going to be somebody. Nobody walking down the road, and there was no car. There's, you know, are you sure you saw, you know, the old lady? I'm like, nah, at this moment, I'm questioning everything I saw. And I said, yeah. I said, she said, there was nobody out there. Just be careful, you know, get some rest if you need some rest. And I said, well, you know, I just started driving 3 hours ago. You know, I'm usually pretty good about that, getting my rest, you know. But I don't know what that was, honestly. I have no clue about what that was. And to this day, I'll just question it forever. And see, those two things that happened to me right there is, I never knew people with sleep paralysis saw those things, man, until I saw the movie The Nightmare yesterday, and I realized people do see those things in sleep paralysis. And I hate sleep paralysis. It's just something that it's happened to me twice, and both times that it's happened to me out on the road, I've always try to find out why and do some research about the place. And sure as shit, man, the one time that I had it happen to me in Essex, E-S-S-E-X, California, just over the border from Arizona, and there was a big massacre there. A lot of natives got killed and buried all around that area. And that's another tale, though. That's another tale. And I'll call you back with those two. But for now, man, I'll leave it right there. I can't explain what I saw, but I'm sure more people have seen those entities. I think they just wander around at night trying to find somebody to visit And hopefully we won't be one of those people. Bye, you guys.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your experience. I believe what you saw is what we commonly call on this show a ghost.
Yeah, I think he saw an old lady, but I don't necessarily think it's the same hag that people see in sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very different type mm-hmm. setting. I think it was certainly an old lady of or figure of an old lady, as far as whether it was a real old lady ghost or something else making it look like that, mm-hmm. like someone in need. Sometimes dark things will manifest as children or vulnerable beings,
yeah,
if you will. I don't know, but obviously it was not something that was human.
No, same with the shadow man with the hat.
Yeah.
People see him when they're awake as well.
What's up with the hat?
I don't know. Maybe he's just styling.
I don't know. I wonder if there's like trends and styles that ghosts go through in the afterlife. It's like that's so not in anymore. That is so 1834. We are now into 1920s.
I don't know. Someday we'll find out the answer and we'll be like, oh man, the whole time it wasn't a hat. It was something else.
Sure.
They're mad because they know that we think it's a hat.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad someone found the nightmare endurable. The documentary.
Yeah.
I know we tried it and it was just like, yeah.
It was a letdown.
We got 15 minutes into it and said, okay, this is really just not.
Well,
and it might be because we do this every day.
Yeah.
Had we not, hosted, hundreds of shows on the topic prior to watching it, it may have been a better watch.
It's just our listeners write in and call in so much better stories.
Yeah, they seem more in detail, more in depth. I couldn't follow it. But that's not to say that you may not enjoy it. We just didn't really find it all that wondrous. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Elle in Illinois.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Elle from Chicago. I'm calling in today because I had a really incredible experience today. And I'm just, shaking now, even thinking about it. So I actually had a medium approach me in the grocery store. I know that on a popular TV show, this is something the medium does all the time. She comes up to people in the grocery store, basically says, I can communicate with spirits and I have a message for you. And that's basically exactly what happened to me. This woman seemed very comfortable, seemed like she had obviously done this many times before. So I was very intrigued. And she said, I have a young man here who desperately wants to get a message across to you. And I said, okay. At the moment, I could not recall any young men that had passed away that I was particularly close with. So, but I continued to hear her out because, how often does something like this happen? And she said that his message was he just wanted to let me know that he was so, so thankful for what I was able to do for his mother. And he wanted to tell me that his sister is beautiful. I'm sorry, this part, it gets kind of emotional. A few years back, my sister miscarried due to, I think they call it an incompetent cervix, just basically when the baby gets to a certain weight, she cannot hold it anymore. So it's a very rare condition. It's hard to fix. There is a surgery that can fix it. There's only one doctor really who can do it, and he is located in India. So the surgery expense, let alone, the trip to India, was not even with insurance. It was not something that they could do. So they were very heartbroken. They really, really desperately wanted to be parents, and they had started the whole adoption process, but because they're a young couple, they were having a hard time getting anywhere with that. So I was in a good place in my life. I had just taken a year off school, so So I figured I could handle a pregnancy at this point. So I actually became my sister and brother-in-law surrogate. And so when she said this to me, it kind of clicked that this was, you know, most likely my nephew that had passed in a miscarriage. And he just, you know, wanted to say thank you. And it was the most rewarding and incredible thing that could have happened. And I'm very thankful to this woman that she does what she does and comes up to people, because it was just very comforting and amazing. And I'm so at peace knowing that my nephew is in a good place. And so it's kind of a sad story with a happy ending. And on a lighter note, I know you guys like to know how people listen to your podcast and you know what they're doing during it. So I'm working my way through school, cashiering, and it can be incredibly boring on the slow days. So I have hooked up a Bluetooth earbud, and I hide it with my hair, and I listen to you guys while work is really slow. And my managers have not found out about it yet, so I will continue to do so. Thank you guys so much for being such a great outlet, and I will call back with different stories at another time. Bye.
Very interesting story.
That is very interesting.
I think supermarkets should hire psychics to do things like that and also hand out free samples.
Okay.
At the same time. So anyone who walks up can try the latest flavor of Fig Newton and also get a message from the grave.
I think that is really neat that the boy ended up being old enough to relay the message.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder if you...
Age.
Yeah, if you age or if you happen to die before you're born, if you get to then pick what age you are.
Sure. Or if there's just a consciousness there that is existing.
Yeah.
Maybe no age to it.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like you would hope and you wonder, especially someone like who has Alzheimer's and who is essentially... Basically, their mind is deteriorated to the point where it can't function, you know, then it goes, reverts back to a point of existence of functioning.
Yeah.
If we always all have that certain point that we're at, even as a child that can't communicate but wants to communicate things, they get to a point of learning how to communicate. And then as you get old, it digresses again. You know, if there's just that solid state that's there and it's just always in existence. You know?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting.
I think I just... I think that's the million-dollar idea of the year, though.
Of psychic. A Fig Newton lady psychic?
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be Fig Newtons. It can be anything. It can be boneless chicken wings.
How about the lady...
Honey ham?
At the local wholesale club that has the cart of cookies with the train whistle.
Oh, that's interesting. That'd be even more.
Yeah.
You could have it like the ghost train. Because she walks around with the wooden whistle... The kid's train whistle, and then gives out cookies. That would be great. Make it into a ghost train, and then she can choose who she approaches. If you see the ghost train coming to you,
if she picks who she approaches, you're gonna have a store full of pissed off little kids when they don't get the cookie cart coming to them.
But someone got to speak to the dead.
They don't care about that. They're like 4 and 5 years old. They just want their damn cookie.
True. Try and explain that to a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Might not go over so well. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Megan. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Megan. I was listening to a podcast the other day called Mirror Mirror, and it reminded me of something that happened to me back in January of this past year. A friend of mine had suddenly passed away of a heart attack at the age of 34. It was unexpected. And I came home that afternoon and was, of course, really sad about the events that had taken place. And I asked for him to give me a sign that he is okay. And I was just sitting in my room, and I have a dresser, and above my dresser is a mirror that is, it's not nailed into the wall, but it's attached with those Scott hangy clip things, because my parents don't want any holes in their walls. So I'm just laying there, and all of a sudden, my dog barked at the window, jumped up on my bed. The mirror went flying off the wall, it went to the left, and it hit the light switch, but the light switch is on the right of my dresser. So needless to say, that freaked me out quite a bit. I turned on the light, and I noticed that the clips were still on the wall, and the wire that was on the back was still attached to the mirror. So nothing had broke off. There is no other indication that anything would have caused the mirror to fall. Nobody was in the bathroom on the other side. I was just laying in the bed, and nobody else was in the house. So I guess that was my sign showing me that he was okay. I do have other stories to tell, and I will call back and tell you all at a later date. But I love your show, and I will listen to podcasts actually a couple of times. I have probably 112 I need to catch up on. So love you guys. Bye.
Just take a vacation week and get that taken care of.
It's always interesting when things jump off the wall. And I say jump off the wall because there is no evidence of something like falling.
Sure.
You know, it's like something had to push it up to make it fall down.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that can withstand like earthquakes and such mm-hmm. on walls before they fall off. And that, those are the most troubling, especially where it literally like projects itself off the wall and it's on the other side of the room. I mean, it's pretty obvious when something falls off a wall.
Yeah.
It's also pretty obvious when something shouldn't have fallen off the wall, was nearly impossible to fall off the wall. And how the hell did it end up over there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting story.
Yeah.
Very interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. Our number here, 855-853-4802. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to share your stories with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And we greatly appreciate that. If you like our show, please consider supporting it, becoming an EPP. That's an extra podcast person for those of you who are new to it. That's how we keep the show on the air. It's only $5 a month. Our EPPs fund the bandwidth and all of the other fun stuff that comes along with distributing and producing a show like this to the world. So please throw on the kitty if you would like this thing to continue on. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. You get access to all our bonus episodes, just for you guys, by the way. More than 50 bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and more. Check it out. realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.